All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Can you see it? Did you know
this? Check, but the puck comes right to Pettersson, who tries a bank pass for Besser. In with a shot, he scores!
A moment's notice. Adams leaves the puck.
To the line, Hughes, Jones!
Yes, exists.
Quinn Hughes beat reporter here. Like, I don't cover the Canucks. Yeah. I cover Quinn Hughes and what he's doing to the Canucks.
Just wave the guy and get Demko involved. I wanted them in and down.
Wow. We should do a radio show together. Right on. I want to fist bump you right now.
What our heart. Pearl steals, cutting in, shoots, scores! No
details or public display. Is that what you need?
They slayed the dragon!
It is existence, existence.
Don't waste all the good stuff on the off-air, let's go.
Hello, Canucks fans. Welcome back to another episode of the Canucks Conversation, episode 112 today. And this is a different one. We're not going to be talking about recent news or anything that's really happened. The Canucks went out and they signed Gaudette. That's a big story of the week, but we're not going to get to that. We'll break some stuff down in the future here. Canucks Conversation is presented by the great folks at Zephyr Epic. Be sure to use promo code Canucks Convo right now. You guys can get $5 off any purchase. And I think it's time to bring in my co-host, David Quadrelli. Quads, how's it going, buddy?
Fantastic. I went to IKEA today.
That's right.
It's fantastic. I bought a little nightstand. I'm very excited to build it.
Yeah.
I'll be listening to this episode, actually, I think.
A little expensive for me at IKEA. I'm just going to come out and say it.
This was $17.99, so, bad. You know, that's okay. A bargain.
That's not bad at all. So, special episode this week.
Very special episode.
We didn't do a midweek show because we were prepping for this one. Episode 112 seems like the perfect number to count down the top 10 moments in Canucks conversation history. So, this was a lot of fun putting it together, wasn't it?
This was an idea we had as soon as we heard the 10:40 countdown. And it's funny because the first moment on our list, which we'll get to in a few minutes here, is from the 10:40 countdown. Like, this was something we followed up with, a guy from 10:40 who was on that countdown. I had this idea, like, right away. I ran it by you. I thought I wanted to get your opinion on it. You loved it, so here we are. It's been a long time coming. We were originally going to do it for episode 100, but then episode 100 was like right in the heart of our school semester. True. So it
and
was
when
tough.
The Canucks got eliminated, the same.
Yes,
night,
so. Exactly. So
we had news that day. We don't we have did. News this week, so it yeah. feels like a good week. But also, we're recording this, and I feel like, you know, something's going to happen between us recording this and releasing this episode. So
we'll do an emergency convo.
Potentially an emergency convo coming for sure. But yeah, the idea is like what we're going to do is we'll play the clip. Maybe we'll intro in like a little bit each one.
Yeah, we'll
play the clip and then we'll talk about it after.
Yeah. So I mean, let's just get started with it. Number 10 on our list is Rick Dhaliwal of TSN 1040 telling us a bit of the backstory of the drunk Dhaliwal incident, which was number 3, I believe, on the TSN 1040 countdown, where they did the top 40 moments in station history. They've been around a little bit longer than we have, Chris, so yeah, they got to do 40. We just stuck with 10. But coming in at number 10 is drunk Dhaliwal, the backstory of drunk Dhaliwal.
It's funny because that countdown was so much fun, I think, from start to finish. But a lot of people had a lot of fun with your clip, Rick, your famous couple drinks in Rick Dhaliwal clip.
Oh, it wasn't a couple. It was more than a couple. It was, it could have been close to 20. I don't know. We got into Vegas Thursday night at 9 o'clock, and first time I've been to Vegas, and we had a bunch of, and well, people don't know about this. It wasn't just the radio station guys. It was all our sponsors. And there was a lot of young guys. Mm. And these young guys, I ended up with them at 1-2 in the morning, and it just became a gong show. But Barry McDonald, who is one of my favorite people of all time, Barry woke me up at 6. I didn't even know what country I was in. And then I had to go down to the lobby and say, hey, is there a radio station for Vancouver here? Do you know where they are? And they said, yeah, the fourth floor. So I walked up, and oh, my God. My neighbors were listening in the cul-de-sac, and they were calling me going, holy smokes. And it was, hey, listen, I'm not going to lie to you. I when I went for the first point, and Mike Whittingham, who's my neighbor now, and was the producer of the morning show at the time, the operator. And Mike ran to Starbucks as soon as he saw me. And he got the biggest coffee in the history of the world you could possibly buy. It was all black, no sugar, no cream. And he said, drink. And I do believe that the 7 o'clock hour, I did sober up. But you know what? Hey, listen, you're going to take a bunch of sports guys off from an all-sports station to Vegas?
Oh. Yeah.
Shit's going to happen.
some great stuff from Dhaliwal.
Yeah, some excellent stuff. The backstory is great behind the story. Like, obviously, like, if you haven't heard the drunk Dhaliwal clip, like, maybe go look and find the podcast for TSN's countdown. But like, Rick was absolutely plastered at that point. And,
oh my god!
Yeah, to hear the backstory, that was kind of fun on the show, and we had to ask him about that. And,
very evil people.
Yeah, Rick Dhaliwal doesn't like quads either.
Yeah, we'll get into that another time.
Maybe save that for the Patreon.
All right, number 9 on our list is Brogan Rafferty. This was one that I had a lot of fun doing because, you know, I think people of this show, I think everybody knows Chris is the better interviewer out of the two of us. I was writing questions down when we first started this show. I've gotten out of that, but for number 9 is Brogan Rafferty, me asking a question totally in my element, asking Brogan Rafferty a question about The Bachelor. And his answer, for a guy who was pretty quiet up to that point on the episode, had us howling. Yeah, we do have to ask you about The Bachelor. We asked Cole Lind about it when he was on the show earlier. We actually asked him like right before the finale who he thought he was going to win. And, you know, like, I don't know about you, but personally, both Cole and I said that it was going to be Madison. Chris doesn't watch The Bachelor, but, like, I was all over that. I thought it was going to be Madison.
Yeah, Cole might have been a bit biased because some of the boys did a Bachelor draft, and Cole picked Madison first overall in the first round.
Oh, he was telling us about that. That was his horse in the race right from the start.
So I actually wasn't allowed in the draft because my fiance knows about the spoiler account on Twitter, Reality Steve. So I am very well aware of like what was happening before the season even started. So anyway, so Cole picked Madison. So he was pretty biased about her. I thought she was going to win as well. I thought the whole thing about his mom talking, oh, bring her back, whatever, it was about Madison.
Yeah.
Plot twist, it was about Hannah Ann, which is pretty interesting because the whole pretty bad season, to be honest. Like I thought Peter's mom made a fool of herself and kind of blew up the whole thing between Peter and Matt. I think she was threatened by Matt with how brave and her morals and how strong of a woman she was. But
yeah, I mean, no,
Hannah Ann, that's a good review.
That's a great review.
I respected Hannah Ann more than I ever did during the whole show when she lit up Peter for breaking off the engagement. Like, oh, when 100%. when she showed some strength and like some independence and kind of stood up for herself, got broke. I totally agree with everything she said. Like, that, I respected her a lot. Like, both girls were great options. I think if I was in Peter's situation, I would have probably not proposed to Hannah Ann. I would have gone, but that's reality TV, and that's why they keep bringing us back every season, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, we were talking about it, and yeah, I think Peter was really, he lost the season. Like, it was a bad season, because it just, like, Peter blew it. That there's no other way to say it.
I couldn't believe how upset Peter's mom was that he broke it off with Hannah Ann, and he wanted to pursue Madison. Like, Madison was at the first one-on-one with Peter's parents when they renewed their vows. That's a pretty intimate moment, and yeah, like, they seemed to get along very well and stuff like that. And the fact that Peter's mom was so upset at the end about it was just kind of, I think that was more TV than it was reality, like what she actually was feeling. But I don't know. I mean, the show sucks, but I'll watch it next season, whatever.
Yeah, you mentioned earlier that, you know, some of the girlfriends kind of force their guys to watch it. You sound like one of the guys that just goes out and watches on his own, Brogan.
No, I've been dating my fiance before we got engaged for 2 years, and I watched last season The Bachelorette with Hannah, and then I watched this season. So these are the only two seasons I've watched, but I mean, I've kind of picked up on, you know, what's BS and what isn't, and and kind of what's going on. So I kind of have a good nose for that. So I just kind of like to voice my input among the locker room, and then when asked, I'll voice my opinion.
Okay, so the final thing I want to ask before we get off this Bachelor talk here is, what's your thoughts on Bachelor in Paradise?
Mike, I actually watched half of a season. I think it was last summer.
Yeah.
Obviously with my fiance. It's just a disaster. Like, it's like, if you're a single guy and you want to go on, like, it's a great way to become famous and whatever, maybe hook up with some girls or something like that, but it's just
it's a mess.
I don't know, it's a mess. It's just a way for the show, I think, for them to bring in viewers and money for the off season, I guess, in between Bachelor and Bachelorette.
Yeah, so I don't know if you're going back, and
that's a disaster. Like, a new person walks down the stairs, and then they just drop everything. They drop everything they have with the one they've been talking to for 4 weeks, and they pursue another girl. It's just
it sounds like, honestly, it's such a great concept for a TV show, though. Like, it's gonna create great content.
Yeah, for TV, it's amazing. Yeah. Just, I could, if I was in that situation, I would be mortified.
Oh yeah, it's brutal. It's definitely television.
What a time we had that day.
So we were laughing through listening to that thing for a while there. I just, like, I've watched The Bachelor in the past. I had no idea what, like, what you guys were talking about, but, like, I could not have given a breakdown the same way that Brogan Rafferty just did of that season. Like,
dude, neither could I.
That he said in there was hilarious.
Oh man, yeah, he's talking about strength. He was yeah, he was very, very involved. He knew what was going
talking
on.
About Peter's mother and, like,
yeah,
how she was let
he knew
down
everything. Yeah, he was great. That was that may be my personal favorite interview moment.
You
getting that from Brogan Rafferty.
It's a huge loss too, as well. Brogan Rafferty's not watching this season of The Bachelor.
Oh, I know.
Out to him, and I was texting with him asking about that. He said he's taking a season off, and maybe that's what you got to do with The Bachelor.
I'm doing the same thing, if I'm being honest. Yeah. I'm not watching this season.
I like Bachelor in Paradise. I think Bachelor in Paradise is an absolute
I've honestly
cluster.
Never watched it.
Oh my goodness. Well, you heard him at the end of that clip.
Yeah,
talking
I know.
About it. It's made for television drama.
That's
like,
so funny.
New person walks down and you leave the person you've been with for like a month on a beach in a vacation. And you just leave them to go to this new person who just showed up on the beach.
Oh, man. All right, let's get to number 7 on our list.
Number 7 on the list. Absolutely excited for that one. Number 8 actually on the list. I was confused for a second.
Sorry.
We're getting to number 8 right now. This was a very early episode of the Canucks Conversation, so you get to hear me do a poor job interviewing because I learned since then. But this is in the early days. I believe episode 10. I believe episode 10 is where this one came from. This is the first time that Dan Murphy jumps on the show and his first time on the countdown. This was episode 10, and this is Dan Murphy talking about Elias Pettersson and Fat Spaghetti.
I'll give you one Elias Pettersson story. I don't think it's been told, and I don't think anybody would mind, but with the English as a second language. On the plane this year, you get a little menu, and on the menu was fettuccine. And so he's asking the flight attendant, like, what's fettuccine? And they're like, well, it's a pasta. It's it's a Italian. It's like it's fat spaghetti. And he's like, why don't you call it fat spaghetti? So that's all I've got for you. I don't think it's been told, but there's your second language. The kid's an absolute beauty.
Yeah, that's a quick, short one, but I just remember that's such an early day of the Canucks Conversation. That was like the first thing. No, I probably clipped something from the Botch interview. Yep. That was episode 5, but that was probably like the first video or first like video content that I put out that got a lot of likes when showcasing off the podcast. Episode 10, I believe it was Blake Price and Dan Murphy, and they were from like Hawaii and Chicago, because Murph was in Chicago with the Canucks and Blake was in Hawaii with the Whitecaps.
Wow.
I think look at that memory of mine doing its thing.
Look at you go.
My brain sucks, but sometimes it pulls something out like that. But yeah, the fat spaghetti story, that's what Elias Pettersson. So, maybe if we ever get another Zoom call with Petey, we'll have to ask him about fat spaghetti and how he feels about fettuccine. Because later on in this episode, we're going to have some fun talk about Italian food.
Yes.
We'll get to there. Maybe we'll have to ask our guest for that one. But if you want to introduce number 7.
Well, I was going to say, speaking of brains not working in Zoom calls, number 7 is one that listeners who have been listening for at least a few months now will know for sure. It is the second Zoom call we had since we started doing all of our player availabilities over Zoom. I went in, you'll hear me tell the story. I can't do it much justice. It was not my finest hour at all.
Some other stuff that's been going on, the Vancouver Canucks been keeping up with their Zoom calls. You talked to JT Miller last week, and this week you had some fun with Tanner Pearson, didn't you?
Should I tell the Krusty Krab story?
That's what you gotta do.
Point of people listening to the podcast. Okay, I'll tell the Krusty Krab story. I feel bad. It's so unprofessional. Like, oh man. Okay, anyways. All right, fudge. I said fudge. Here it is. Okay, so Tanner Pearson's Zoom call with the media on what was it, Wednesday? I think so. Wednesday. I'm gonna try not to swear because literally that whole morning was just filled with. Damn! I can't believe I did that, but I didn't say damn. Anyways, here's the story. Sorry. Okay, it's embarrassing. So, I wake up way too late. Zoom calls at 10. I'm up at 9:58 getting dressed, okay? Like, I was getting ready for the Zoom call, like, as the Zoom call was happening, okay? It was a bad move. But I had a really late night the night before. Couldn't fall asleep. I was like, okay, I don't want to, give up sleep, so I'm going to just try and get as much sleep as possible. Slept through an alarm. Woke up at 9:58. That was, like, my emergency alarm. Like, okay, look at the clock. Like, if you're not up by then, you got to hurry. So I'm getting up, getting dressed. And I didn't join the video last time, so I joined on my phone on Zoom, and I'm, like, getting dressed, and I have my phone pointed at the ceiling, but I'm in the call. So Ben Brown, the Canucks media guy, or PR guy, rather, and all the other guys, whatever, are in the call, okay? And I'm getting dressed, and my phone's pointing at the ceiling. Video's not on, okay? I get a little thing on my screen that says, the host, Ben Brown, would like you to turn on your video. I'm like, okay, no problem. I just turn it on, kept my thing pointed at the ceiling. It wasn't going to be on me because I'm still not dressed at this point. So I'm like, okay, fuck, frig, sorry, whatever. Turn it on. I hit yes, turn on video. Okay, I took his request. My virtual background from when I was messing around with my friends on Zoom the other night was the Krusty Krab. And it had Squidward sitting at the cash register sleeping. And I wasn't in the shot, so I flashed the Krusty Krab at everybody, but here's the kicker. I didn't catch it right away because I hit accept video, turned around, and kept getting dressed.
Yeah.
And then I hear somebody like giggle. I had my AirPods in, okay? And I'm like, oh, I wonder what they're laughing about. So I turn around and the Krusty Krab is on my screen. And I'm like, this is what I'm doing? Like, I'm broadcasting the Krusty Krab on here. So I quickly turned that off, hoped nobody else noticed. I don't know who it was that laughed. I don't know who it was. I'm not even going to speculate, but there was like 20 people in this call. So I just like quickly turned it off, and like Drance was in the call. He didn't message me and say, hey, like the Krusty Krab was on your screen. So I don't think he saw it. I didn't ask him if he saw it, but like I was freaking out. And then I like, you know, I messaged PJ, Patrick Johnson. I was like, I told him what happened. I'm like, yeah, I don't even have a question. And then he's like, no, ask a question. Don't be that guy who doesn't ask a question. I'm like, that's a great way of looking at it. Like, I don't want to be the guy who joins, flashes the Krusty Krab, and then doesn't ask a question and just, like, lurks in the call. So I did ask a question near the end, but that was quite a morning. And then afterward, I was like, I cannot believe that just happened. So, you know, we'll see if they send me another invite to a Zoom call. But yeah, so far we're 2 for 2. They had JT Miller and Pearson. I got invited to both of those. So hopefully we go 3 for 3. And this time I'll be much more responsible with my virtual background on Zoom.
Yeah, you got to have something like the Tiger King in the background or something different. You can't be having the childish Krusty Krab back there, Quads.
Jeez, that'd be even worse. That Joe Exotic right there. Oh my gosh.
Couple things about that clip. First of all, a few things have changed since we did that episode. And I guess that was only in like March or April, I suppose.
Yeah.
So the one thing you'll hear is I sound different. The reason is because when COVID started, like right before COVID, I had just started an Invisalign treatment to get my teeth straight because it's something I've always wanted. I finally did it. I was on like week 3 of the Invisalign, and you're not supposed to have them out for too long, and the show takes about an hour, and you know, I got to eat, so I take them out when I eat, and I was like, well, I need to have my Invisalign in. So I was like, you know what, I'll just do the show with it, and I'm sure it's not even that noticeable.
I told you all the time that it was noticeable.
But I was like, it's not noticeable enough to the point where I'm not going to put them in.
Well,
so
you hear it.
I do hear it. And now, yeah, that looking back on it, I don't have Invisalign anymore. I finished my treatment, but holy cow, that was tough to listen to. I was talking like this, and you could tell I had something in my mouth. It was so weird. Yeah. Anyway, and since then, yes, we have been to training camp, and we have been on all the Zoom calls. We haven't had any problems.
But
with
the same time, they've also stopped videos on Zoom calls.
Yes, they
very
have.
Very quickly after that interview, actually. Yeah. It's only audio now. So
there's
no
reason for video, okay?
Yeah, it's
actually
true.
You know what? Now that we're a little bit closer with the PR staff, maybe next training camp, I'll ask one of them, like, hey, does the Krusty Krab ring a bell when you think about me? Do you associate the Krusty Krab with me at all?
That's a sentence they want to hear from you.
see if they remember the incident.
When you think about the Krusty Krab, do you think about me?
Yeah, that's not
the
a
story
weird
of David Quadra.
Hey, Ben, why don't you come over here for a sec? I got a question for you.
All right, moving on from number 7 down to number 6, because that's how you go when you're counting down a top 10. Number 6 was a lot of fun, and a pretty recent one as well. This is the last time that Ray Ferraro jumped on the show, and Ray Ferraro's nickname is Chicken Parm. David Quadrelli's nickname is Pasta Amore Fan 305. That's his burner account. So we talked a little bit about some Italian food at the end with Ray Ferraro. So listen to Ray here. He's not a huge fan of us ordering the same thing at an Italian restaurant every time we go.
I've learned a lot about my co-host Quadrelli over here as we've been doing our show. Have you learned anything about dregs that you didn't know just from podcasting?
Yeah, I mean, okay, so yesterday we talked about, he makes a big deal all the time on Instagram about the way he likes to cook and the way he smokes meat and all this stuff, and he's got a big deal about it. So I said, wait a minute. So I'm understanding you get the meat, you season it, you turn the smoker on till it gets to the heat that you want, but you just turn it on, and then you throw the meat on it, and then you sit on your ass for 7 hours. Like, you're telling me this is hard to do. I could do that. I'm an idiot. And he's like, well, yeah, that's kind of it. And yeah. I'm like, so what I've learned is Dregs is overselling his chef ability.
Right. Okay, so he's overselling that. That's fair. Well, actually, sorry, Quads is, so David here is from Burnaby. He's also very Italian, by the way. I know that your nickname was Chicken Parm, but Dave's a huge fan of this place in Burnaby called Pasto Amore. Have you ever been to there, Ray, for Italian food?
No, I've not. It looks like I need to make a trip.
You certainly should.
Okay, so what's the specialty? What do I need to get?
There you go.
So Chris and I get the... Yeah, thanks. So Chris and I start off with a plate of focaccia, and they have like a wood oven, or like a brick oven. And okay, so you get the focaccia, and then you get a little olive oil. You put that on the side, and you dip the focaccia in that. Awesome. That's a starter, okay? It's going to put you back like $8, okay? And that's a starter. Chris and I split that. We do this before the podcast, keep in mind.
Every Friday, like, before the podcast.
Yeah, every Friday before the podcast, because it's right by BCIT. So then our main dish is we both get the penne toto with meatballs on the side. So it comes with two meatballs, but it's like this creamy meat sauce. And like,
hang on, you guys get the same thing?
Oh, yeah.
I've mixed it up a little bit, but he won't change.
I get the same thing every time.
You've got to mix it up. Not mix it up, but order two different entrees, and then you get to, like, you try two different things, no?
I'm a germaphobe. I won't let Chris touch my food. Chris isn't sticking his fork in my food.
No, you could put it on his side dish. I know. I already heard the germ comment earlier. I'm not letting anybody touch my plate either. That's not happening.
Yeah.
I'll cut your arm off if you touch my plate.
Yeah, exactly.
But here's the thing. I'm making fun of you ordering the same thing all the time. So in Trail, where I'm from, there's this restaurant called The Colander.
Yeah.
And The Colander is actually quite famous throughout the West Kootenays. Unbelievable pasta, spaghetti place, Italian place. I don't know what's on the menu. I've been going there since I was a little kid. I go in there, you sit down, I order a special. And it comes out with a salad, spaghetti and meatballs, chicken and potatoes, and then dessert. By the time you leave there, you just roll out of there. It's fantastic. But I couldn't tell you anything else. My brother one time ordered rigatoni. I'm like, I didn't even know they had that here. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Well, you don't really need to know. You know what you like, and you order it every time. That's what I do.
Now, are the portions big?
Yeah, they're decent. They're decent, yeah.
Because at The Colander, you can walk out of there with a little late-night snack or your breakfast the next morning, too. It all comes with you. You just fill it up in this styrofoam takeaway container, and off you go.
Yeah.
Well, man, I don't know if you've been to Anton's in Burnaby, but they're... the food's not as great. Like, the quality of the food isn't, in my opinion, it's not nearly as good as Pasta Amore. But the portions, holy cow. Like,
man, you need a shovel to get your stuff.
Exactly. And, you know, you wait in the lineup for 45 minutes. It's part of the experience.
See, I think that's good strategy. They make you wait so you're so hungry when you get in. It's good strategy, Anton. I do. I'm going to try this new place. Once I can get out to Burnaby, then I think I'm going to give it a go.
There you go.
Yeah, you might have to.
Pasta Amore.
How many times do we plug that restaurant on this show?
I don't know how Pasta Amore isn't a sponsor of the show.
Well, I think we have to approach them.
If they had Twitter, we would be together already. Absolutely. Just saw a Pasta Amore post on Instagram, too.
Man.
That's where we got to hit them up.
We should go after we're done recording this. I'm hungry.
I'm getting Chinese food tonight.
Maybe I'll just go alone. Table for one. It's all good.
Of David Quadrelli, table for one.
Get out of here. Anyway, different story. That was a fun moment with Ray. He was so much fun to have on the show.
We got to get him now to Pasta Amore, because now the picture's got to come out of us with him at Pasta Amore. Yes. But I know he just had knee surgery, so I'm hoping hoping everything's going well for Ray in his recovery, because...
I heard him on 1040 today.
Yep.
We'll bring him some Pasta Amore.
Yeah, maybe we should. That would be even better. But we got to get him in there for the fresh focaccia, too. Focaccia is a game changer. But that wraps up our first five of the top 10 clips. We are going to run to a quick ad here from Zephyr Epic and our friends at Mike's Hard Lemonade as well. And then we'll see you on the other side to break down the top five.
And before we go any further, just wanted to give a quick shout out to the presenting sponsor of the Canucks Conversation podcast, Zephyr Epic, Canada's source for trading card games and sports cards. We open a lot of hockey cards from them, and you can too. You can use promo code CanucksConvo for $5 off your order. They ship free anywhere in Canada on orders over $50. So take advantage of that. Again, that is promo code CanucksConvo at ZephyrEpic.com. Z-E-P-H-Y-R Epic on all platforms, on Twitter, Instagram, and join them on Twitch every Thursday for weekly case break giveaways. Chris and I have a lot of fun doing these. You guys should check them out as well. We've been having a lot of luck. We opened a lot of Quinn Hughes cards, and now we're doing the DiPietro diving. You can catch us on Twitter and Instagram opening hockey cards at random times. It's really hard to find out when we're going to do it because we don't really know when we're going to do it. But be on the lookout for that and make sure you go buy yourself some hockey cards, whatever cards you need, from Zephyr Epic. Z-E-P-H-Y-R Epic on all platforms.
All right, so before we go any further into the episode, I just want to give a quick shout out to our sponsor, Mike's Hard Lemonade. Over 20 years ago, Mike's took ordinary lemonade and added vodka to it and made something original that the world had never seen before. The OG of coolers, Mike's has a broad range of alcoholic beverages based on lemonade and nostalgic flavors, delivering a totally original take on the classic drinks. And that is the one go-to for me. If I'm going to a Canucks game and I'm having a few drinks, I'm going with the Mike's Hard Quads. I don't know about you.
I'm going with the bottled water.
That's true. But Mike's Hard Lemonade is the way to go, if you ask me. So go out and try some, and not to mention the Blue Freeze flavors. We've talked about it in the past, and we'll continue to talk about it in the future. Go out and try some Mike's Hard Lemonade today.
I got to change my answer. I'm going with the Blue Freeze. And a huge thank you to our friends at Mike's Hard Lemonade and, of course, Zephyr Epic. We're going to continue the countdown now with number 5 on our list, one of my personal favorite moments in the show, and it is some gold from Sammy Salo talking about his favorite moment as a Canuck. So here is Sammy Salo.
Or even hockey, I think anything on the ice. Was there ever just one moment that sticks out more, I guess?
Well, obviously, the Stanley Cup, reaching the final, obviously, that winning that San Jose crucial game and getting to be part of the, you know, the finals was one thing, obviously. And then I think another thing is obviously playing your first NHL game. It was in Colorado, the old building, and first shift, I got my eye was cut. Stitches on the first shift. So welcome to the NHL. It's another memory that will obviously last forever. And then I think one of my favorites is obviously showing what kind of fans we have in the Vancouver was when the full crowd was chanting balls of steel. That's for sure. I think that might be the top memory because it just shows you how what kind of fans they are, and they appreciate even. You know, not everybody can score 50 goals, 40 goals, have, you know, 100 points. Canucks fans will appreciate even, you know, the hard work, the blocks, and sacrificing your body for the team. And that's obviously a really fond memory.
His top memory of his NHL career is when Rogers Arena, GM Place at the time, I believe, chanted balls of steel. I like when he said that, like, we lost it in studio at that point. We were at my house, I think, yeah, the Sammy Salo one. We lost it at that point. I think we, like, oh, man, like, that's so funny because, like, that was something that we wanted to, like, build up the interview to asking about. And then when he said that was his favorite moment, like, it was just, like, such a perfect, like,
totally unprompted.
Of the interview.
Totally unprompted.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Beautiful.
All right. I don't think you've heard this next one, Quads.
I haven't. This is going to be my first time hearing. I'm quite excited.
Number 4 on the list was another early episode. Not really sure when this one. Maybe episode 2015, somewhere in that range. Randeep Janda of Sportsnet 650 joined the show. Randeep is not only a part of Sportsnet 650, he's also a part of Hockey Night in Canada Punjabi. And they went a little viral when the Pittsburgh Penguins won their Stanley Cup because of the Bonino play-by-play call by them on the broadcast. And we're going to get into the story about Randy telling it here and how they were treated so well by the Pittsburgh folk.
It's a dream job, but it's unbelievable what it's led to, right? You know, I've had the chance to meet Mario Lemieux, and I've been, you know, along with the team, we were at the Pittsburgh Penguins Stanley Cup parade. We were in it, and there's 400,000 people in Pittsburgh that knew who we were. And had I, you know, when I started the show, had somebody said that would happen, I would have thought you're crazy. And look, okay, nobody will know who I am, or nobody will know my experience. But it's pretty unbelievable how, you know, we've been able to kind of have fun with it. And at the same time, you know, it's always great because the Punjabi language is something that's important to me. I grew up speaking it because of my grandparents. I'm born and raised in Canada, but mm-hmm. I've taken pride in my language. And you know, it's a great opportunity to help grow the game and maybe a part of the community that wasn't maybe consuming it before. But at the same time, it's great to get the language that I've been speaking as a kid some love as well.
Yeah, and that's amazing. I mean, Randeep, I can't let you go without you kind of plug that story a little bit there. How the heck did you get in the parade for the Pittsburgh Penguins Stanley Cup parade?
So this is a team effort. So we were working the playoffs 3 years ago when the Pittsburgh Penguins ended up going to their first cup final and ended up playing the San Jose Sharks. So we had some great goal calls that year. I remember Nikita Kucherov was an excellent goal call by me, my colleague Harpreet Pander, and Arnarine Singh. He had a super viral run with the Bonino, Bonino, Bonino one, which kind of went world famous. So we knew we were going viral in Vancouver because our studio is based out here, but we weren't actually in Pittsburgh. And apparently it was running everywhere, on television, on radio, you name it. It was going viral, and we kind of had an idea that, okay, yeah, you know, people are paying attention. One day, Nick Bonino is being interviewed in just like, you know, on a day off after practice, and it was a bit of a scrum, and one of the players, we don't know who it was, just ended up saying, Bonino, 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 in the back. And that's when we realized, wait a second, this is a running joke with the players now, so this is getting bigger. Mike Sullivan mentioned it in a press conference one day. And long story short, they end up winning the cup. Nick Bonino scores some great goals in that playoff series. We go super viral, and the Pittsburgh Penguins invited us out there. So after they won the cup, we flew out there, and we had a connection in Chicago, and we were getting recognized on the flight from Chicago to Pittsburgh. And it was just unbelievable. That whole weekend, 3-4 days that we were in Pittsburgh, it was, we were hanging out with, you know, had lunch with Mario Lemieux. We were in the parade. It was just one of the surreal moments where you're just kind of pinching yourself and saying, we're commentators, we're analysts, but at the same time, we're in the parade, which I look back at that now, it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience, but that was kind of the surreal moment for our crew where we went from covering the story and kind of became the story for a little bit.
That's absolutely unreal. And you know what? The Bonino call, it does like ring back a little bit of a memory. Now I think I got to dig that up and run that after this interview here, because I know a lot of people remember that, but.
Kvintana Samabakia, Kargego, Bonino, 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 Nick, Bonino!
Sama thoda irada lagya pata bhi padunga hero Nick Bonino utla kona chhod deta dekho chehre te koi muskurat nahi kyunki enu pata bhi enu pata
Bonino kar gaya
goal. No, you know, the craziest moment for me was that Around the Horn, which is a ESPN show, I'm sure there's a lot of people that are listening that watch it. I record it every single day, have for the last number of years. One day I got home from work and I was watching it, and we were on it. So that kind of tells you, like, that Nick Bonino call was on the show. So it kind of goes full circle where, you know, you're talking about surreal moments and that Pittsburgh story. That was kind of it, when you're you're once again a part of the story. And it kind of set me up in terms of continuing my career in sports, and so far so good.
Randeep Jana, one of my favorite guys to deal with in the media of Vancouver. Nicest guy. And yeah, quite the story. I feel like that's we talked about it in the interview, and like that's like the biggest thing that Hockey Night in Punjabi has been able to do. My dad watches Hockey Night in Canada, Punjabi.
Hmm.
Like he doesn't really care for all the like what the panel has to really say. Like, he just likes the hockey, and he likes the way that they make it so entertaining. So my dad watches it in Punjabi, doesn't understand any of it. So I thought that was kind of funny. Wow. And we talked about that in the interview as well.
For my first time hearing that, that was quite a story. I had no idea they went to the Stanley Cup parade.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
It's just a crazy story, like the way that they got into the Stanley Cup parade, the way that they were like recognized like celebrities everywhere, and you know, like on television in the United States for sports. Like it's a crazy story, and I know that Randeep has told that multiple times on a few other podcasts, but it was cool to get him on this one early on. That's crazy to think that was almost 2 years ago that interview was done.
Oh, man. So, this show's been on a long time.
Crazy stuff.
That was long before my time. Well, I'm still hitting puberty.
Speaking of your time, this was your interview up next here.
Yes, one of my favorite moments. We're entering the top three of the countdown. This is number three with a good Twitter friend of mine, Primetime Snoop, regular on the show, telling the story of impersonating Francesco Aquilini. And there's a lot of laughs here, so bear with me. I'm sorry I couldn't hold it in. Snoop and I are both having a very, very good time during this interview. So enjoy number three. Now, before we wrap up here, I just want to talk to you about the thinking and the day that ensued, everything that ensued. I want to hear it from the horse's mouth here. What happened when you... Sorry, I'm going to laugh because I go back. I have that bookmarked because of how funny I thought it was when you went and changed your profile picture to Francesco Aquilini, changed your name to Francesco Aquilini while keeping the tag at Snoop World Order. And you got a few people there. Why don't you just kind of go over what the poll that you put out was and just tell people about what the thinking was here. You know, talk about how Botchford got involved with that and how that just turned into the perfect storm to get your account suspended.
Okay. You know, I was having a good time, right? And I'm quite opportunistic sometimes. Like, I take advantage of certain things. So I knew that... Francesco was also tweeting things, right? Like, he was kind of vocal. He hasn't been vocal of late, obviously, but he was being very vocal. And I'm like, before I went to bed, I was like, oh, I'll have a bit of fun. Like, I'll just change my name to Francesco, whatever. And I made a poll, right? I said, I don't remember it now. It's something like, oh, you know, I care about my fans. I need you guys' opinion. Who should I trade first? Listen, and then it was, I think it was Good Branson, Sutter, and maybe
Sutter.
I was like, I woke up in the middle of the night, my mentions were blowing up, I ignored it, and then eventually I got suspended, but what happened was, people were mad at me, like, how dare you, literally my at says Snoop World Order, click on the account. My bio was like, Surrey, BC, like, chilling. Like, I don't know what it was back then. But apparently, I guess someone ratted me out. A couple of snitches. Whatever, it's fine. I guess the people were offended. Right? Oh, my God. Like, oh, my God, it's a fake account. But the responses were hilarious. And Botch got involved, too. I can't remember. He said something really funny, but it was quite amazing because it popped off.
So, I'm looking at the tweet, and I'll refresh your memory. So somebody replied to it and said, this poll is ridiculous. Don't you have people in charge to make these decisions for you? No wonder Lyndon left. I wouldn't want you pulling my strings either. And then you said, hello, and then you added this person. You're like, I value your opinion. Please DM me for free tickets. So did that guy end up DMing you?
I think my account got blocked before he DM'd me. I don't know, but
and then there was another reply. This guy was like, this is ridiculous, same sort of thing. And then at the end, he tagged Jason Botchford, and he said, at Botchford, thoughts, ? And Botch, who obviously knew it was a fake account, had a little fun with the guy. And
Botch knew with me.
In the legendary classic Botchford fashion, he replies to the tweet and says, doesn't seem like a good idea, no. And then you replied to that same guy as Francesco and said, man, I gotta keep it together here. And you said... when I want, whenever I want. Don't tweet me ever again. And when I look at that tweet, I just think, if this guy was at work, or if he was with his family, if he was just like, what the hell? The owner of the Canucks just tweeted at me, and he just said this to me. I can't believe it.
You know what? It was a perfect storm. It was a good time, and whatever, I get suspended for it, you know, but I built back, and here I am. Hopefully I don't get suspended anymore. I got to be more careful about my trolls because people will report me.
My favorite.
I think that was
My favorite's when you change Breaking 911. When you change your profile picture to that and you just post the most outrageous news stories. I think that was when you did the Surrey BC one and people replied like, Surrey's not going to host the NHL Hub City. This is ridiculous.
Dude, then I commented back. I'm like, you're incorrect. I'm like, Surrey has a lot of big backyards. Quads, it's all fun and games. You know, I hope everyone gets like, joy out of it. That's all it is. I don't mean to offend anyone. But, yeah, like, when you get caught, you get caught. I love the fish of it. It's all jokes, though. But that Francisco thing. Maybe I might brew something in the future, but it will never be listening like that.
What a moment that was. And I'd like to follow that up because after we recorded that, he did the breaking 911 and got people talking about strippers for Thatcher Demko.
That's right. That was a huge one too.
That one blew up.
Get snooped, man.
Oh my gosh. All right. So coming in at number three is Snoop right there. And that was so much fun. Chris, do you want to intro set up number two and number one? Because we have two legends to close out the show.
Absolutely, we will. Yeah, we didn't even really think about this looking at the list now. But number two was an incredible conversation that we were able to have with Hall of Famer Tony Gallagher. Obviously, he's brought some incredible audio clips to the radio in the past with his time with the Team 1040 and TSN 1040. And we got one of those, I think, on the show here when he was talking about Louis Erickson's contract. So without further ado, here's number two on the list, Tony Gallagher talking about Louis.
Tony, final Canucks question. Are the Canucks cursed?
Very good question. Many times I've thought they have been. Many times I do think they still have been. When I see someone like Louis Erickson, I think, how can you perceive anything but, you know? But, you know, it's very odd. It's like Louis just totally forgot how to play. Either that or checked with his banker and retired. It's really, really hard to figure out how a guy like that falls off a cliff so completely. Mm-hmm. However, it's happened before and happens to a lot of free agents. And I don't think there are such things as curses. I'm sure they're not, in fact. But from the fan's perspective, you certainly wonder.
Awesome. Tony Gallagher, he helped me a ton when I wrote my Botchford Project article. We met at a White Spot. Been a huge help and a huge support system for both of us, I think, here for the past little bit. And to get him on the show was a blast. I don't know what he's up to right now. I haven't reached out in a while, but we got to chat with him again soon because, yeah, he just...
Absolutely.
Nobody brings it like Tony. It's just like there's something in the way that he delivers what he's trying to say.
Oh, my
that,
gosh,
like,
yeah.
You just can't explain it.
Yeah.
Like, but it's so powerful, but it's so calm, like, the way that he says everything.
Yeah, exactly. The way we both were laughing when he said that, when he's like, it's like Louis just forgot how to play. That he checked with his banker. We were just losing it. Like, he was being serious, so we had to try not to laugh too hard.
We get that a lot in a lot of the interviews that we're doing, where we just look at each other and we're like, that's the clip, right?
Yep.
Like, that's the clip from this interview that's amazing. Like, we knew it, we were freaking out with the Brogan Rafferty interview about
The Bachelor.
About The Bachelor. And then, obviously, kind of a similar thing with Tony. But that whole interview with Tony could have made it probably into number two. That was one of the highlights of this show in the past 112 episodes. So that's number two. We're going to get to number one in a second here. But, I just wanted to say thank you guys for tuning in to the list. We're going to leave you with this one, actually, because it's a little bit of a longer clip. I think it's 30-plus minutes. This was, I think, 2 days before Christmas in 2018. So just before Christmas, Jason Botchford took some time out of his day to come on this show for episode 5. I had no idea what I was doing with interviewing at this point. I was 5 episodes in, but I landed Botch and I landed Harm, and this was the turning moment, I guess, for the Canucks conversation. This is when we went from 18 listeners an episode to the hundreds and, you know, later on into the thousands with other stuff involving Botch. So this is the full interview with Jason Botchford from just 2 days before Christmas in 2018. So hopefully you guys enjoy this. I don't know if there's anything you want to add because I think we're going to close out the episode this way, right?
Yep, absolutely. I do want to add that... this was actually the first episode of this little podcast that I ever listened to.
There you go.
When you started tweeting out, oh, Jason Botford joined the show. I was like, well, come on. Like, I listen to the podcast every week. I was like, well, let's see what this Chris Faber guy's got. He seems like a nice guy. Let's see what he's doing with Botch here.
You and a lot of other people
did exactly. The same thing.
And then we kept a couple listeners. It's always cool. I get DMs sometimes from people that have been like, oh, I've been listening since episode one. And it's like, it's so cool to hear that. But like now that like we've gone back and looked at some of these clips, it's like, man, I wasn't very good at interviewing or like talking to people or out. This one was ridiculous. I remember sitting on my bed. This before I had like an office. Like I just bought my laptop so that I could like start writing. And I had Botch on the show and I was like freaking out. I remember I sat there for the whole interview with my Yeti mic in one hand and my phone in the other with him on speaker. And I sat there recording it so that I stared at like the audio the whole time to try and get the best balance. And I was like moving the phone in like further away and closer to get the best audio. Cause I was like, I can't blow this. And I did the Harmon interview right before. So I went from like Harmon straight into Botch and like my arms are getting tired. I sat there, but like wanted to get the best audio possible. And he brought it. It was awesome. And I listened back to this when I sent it to you to edit and throw into this episode. Braden Holtby's name gets brought up. Nate Schmidt's name gets brought up, and Thatcher Demko becoming the starter gets brought up. And this is a conversation from December in 2018. And to think that, like, I don't know, two years ago. It's just crazy. Yeah, almost 2 years ago, and Botch is talking about names that we are talking about in the most recent news for the Vancouver Canucks. So, it's just it's crazy, man. Like, well, it's absolutely insane.
We say, you know, I say every time I intro you, and I say the man who built the place, but man, Botch had a huge part in that.
This is the interview that built the place.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think I get noticed without this interview. So it's the number one moment for a reason. We're going to leave you with it. Hopefully you guys enjoy it. It's about 30 plus minutes. But I guess we'll wrap up the episode here, Quads. For David Quadrelli, my name is Chris Faber. And thank you for listening to a very special episode of the Canucks Conversation. And now, here's Jason Botchford.
All right, folks. Very happy to bring on my next guest, Notre Domus, the owner of the best 2 hours of sports talk radio in Vancouver, the lap padding, hat tipping, and giver of L's, Jason Botchford. Jason, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I'm doing pretty good, I gotta say. Not bad.
Yeah, enjoying this this Friday. I guess the calm after the storm, you could say, that we just had last night.
Yeah, by the way, like, also of the Athletics, so of many of your listeners, if I could just get the word out on subscribing to The Athletic, what a great time to subscribe to there and enjoy The Athletics, all the other stuff we have to offer, because I really, like, I honestly, I tell people, like, half of me doesn't really care, but then half of me is like, fuck, like, if we could get, like, even more writers and more, like, I'm so close to being able to kind of build a little mini Athletic empire. So if you can, anyone there listening can pass on the word and get your friends to sign up, every single person helps. And because I look at Toronto, Toronto's got like 13 full-time Athletic writers. Like I want that. I want to rule the world with Athletic people here in Vancouver. So that's my pitch, Chris. I'll get that out of the way right off the bat.
Yeah, West Coast represent.
I wouldn't come on unless I wasn't selling something.
No doubt. Well, I'm glad you're on here, Jason. And if you aren't already subscribed to The Athletic, they got a hell of a deal on right now for Christmas time as well. I think it's like $3.49.
There you go. I'll slip you a 20 next time I
see you. Yeah, talk to The Athletic. We'll get in contact. But
I heard you had my boy Genius on already.
Oh, man, the kid's unreal. Yeah, he'll be the first half of this episode. Boy Genius, you guys already heard him. Like, the kid's just a genius. What is it that you like so much about what Harmon's doing?
Dude, do you know him? Have you met him before?
just in that interview, that's what I learned about him.
Oh, man, like, it's hard to remember, like, when I see him in person. I just actually met him in person the other day because I actually thought it was a pretty cool thing. Like, the Canucks decided to, and this is actually kind of news, so I'm dropping this on your show. No one else really knows about this, and I didn't write about it. Didn't end up writing about the Athletics, but the Canucks wanted to reach out to some of the main analytics guys in the city and to try to start having connections with those guys. And they brought a collection of them
Daryl Keeping, Harmon, Jeremy Davis, and Ryan Beach. And they were all at the game, I think it was Tuesday, mm-hmm. all together to meet with kind of like a meet and greet with the Canucks analytics crew. So I thought that like that was pretty neat. Like I think that as a city and the relationship between the Canucks and that component of the market and that component of the market that analyzes the team and follows the team and does a lot of like a lot of the work they do is like painstakingly detailed. Like Harmon will sit there and he'll watch game at, like replays after replays, games after games, and break down. You know, he'll do it all by hand. It's not like he's going out and oftentimes just looking up NHL.com numbers. So anyways, I thought that connection was cool because it hasn't always been that relationship between the Canucks, the people that do analytics for the Canucks and those that do them for the Athletic and also Canucks Army. And that's the first time I had met, I think because we had a venue we were supposed to go to earlier in the year for the Athletic, but it was at a bar, and he's 18. He's not allowed in the bar. He was like 19 and old. He wasn't allowed in. Yeah. Main guy. But I had him working on something, and he said that he's going off to Cuba for a week, and he'll do it when he gets back. But I saw him. I was like, man, like I forget how young he is until I see him again in person. I'm like, damn, like this guy is like he's legit 18. But when you read him. Oh. And when you talk to him and when you go back and forth with him, like he comes across and the way he thinks, it's as if he's a man who has multiple degrees and he's either well into his 20s or his 30s. So it is cool talking to him. I don't know what kind of conversation you guys had, but I'm glad that you had him on.
Yeah, no, it was an unreal conversation, man. We went on for 30 minutes and like, I didn't even look at the time. Near the end, I was like, oh shit, Harmon, I'm sorry, man. It's been over 30 minutes here. And he's like, man, this has been great. So like the kid's nice. A genius. He knows hockey and he knows how to find the in between of like the stats guy and the eye test guy. And that's what we kind of talked about in the interview. But let's get into a couple other Athletic writers as well. You, Mike Halford, and Jason Brough. It's been deemed the best 2 hours of sports talk radio in Vancouver, the power hour on TSN 1040. How do you three pull off that power hour, making it the best 2 hours of sports talk radio in only 60 minutes?
Well, it's hard work. It takes a lot of dedication. It's a lot of practice. I got up, you know, I had a game last night at 1, and then I got up at 4 a.m. today, and I started practicing power hour. But honestly, those guys make it, and you know, you're a listener, I mean, they make it super easy, and I enjoy that, like, that particular radio, I enjoy, not everything has to be a fight in radio, not everything has to be an argument, and sometimes you agree, and sometimes you don't, but there's a theory that there's a lot of differing theories in the two stations among the stations themselves, between the stations and among the different hosts, right? Like some people say, I don't want to talk about the Canucks fourth line. I don't want to, that's one of the big things, right? Like if you talk too much about the Canucks, you're talking about the fourth line winger. And I'm like, fuck man, I'll talk about I'll honestly talk about the fourth, like if it's Antoine Roussel, I'll talk about him for days.
Fucking Utica's second line. You can bring up that.
Yeah, and like last year when Ben Hutton was a hot topic, I'm like, I honestly could talk Ben Hutton for 72 hours straight. Like just nothing but Ben Hutton. But I like the minutiae, right? Like I like getting into a lot of the details. And I think Brough and Halford kind of lean toward that way. And there are organic times when they don't agree, when I don't agree, and they're smart guys, and so in situations like that, like radio is super easy, and I think that particular hour is free, and it's so easy. We're having an event at the Real Theater, the Power Hour Live, January 31st, my second plug. I'm going to break records, I think, on your podcast for plugs, but I used to do their show. Like back when, I don't know if you heard back in the day when they had the Curtain Blog Radio.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd do that. Yeah, I'd do that once a week and I'd lose my mind about something. And like, there's always something I'm super aggravated about. Like, but it's not a joke. Like, I'm fucking Like, I just, like, I even wake up mad. And, like, my wife's like, why are you so mad? And I'm like, because Demko's not in the fucking NHL. And she's like, what? What are you talking about?
He's like, man, you need a break, whoa. Jason. I see why you take these breaks and let the sanction get involved.
But
quiet
no,
over
but
there.
It is frustrating when I see, like the more I think about it, and this is the curse of it all, is the more I think about it, the more kind of angry I get about it. When I think, like, the guy is 23 years old, he's played over 100 games in the AHL, and the Canucks have this backup they don't care about. He's not going to be around. He's on expiring deal. He's on his way out of town. And I see Carter Hart. Like, yeah. Carter Hart. I'm sitting there watching Carter Hart, Chris, this week. And I'm watching him come up, and I'm watching him answer. Like, he's actually got the same sports psychologist as Holtby, who's this John Stevenson guy. Like, oh. Super bright. Yeah, like, I don't know if you've seen any of the Carter Hart interviews, but they're fantastic. Like, he's done, I wouldn't say fantastic, but he's got the right attitude, right?
He's a lot more mature than like,
there's a huge percentage of people that say Carter Hart's going to get broken mentally. It's going to be too much pressure, too much this, too much that. I look at him, and I listen to him, and I think this dude is going to be fine. Like, they keep asking him, like, how do you feel about the goalie graveyard? Do you think Philly's going to sink you? And like, he's got all the right answers. Like, you could just tell, right? It doesn't faze him at all. And he's saying, all of those situations of the past have nothing to do with me. I'm here, I'm in my own situation, and I'm my own person. And he's 100% on point. This John Stevenson Holtby guy is a genius himself, I think, though, that I've heard, and I think that Carter Hart's going to do terrific. But it's hard for me to watch Carter Hart at 20 years old get these opportunities when I know for sure, Demko feels ready, feels he's been ready to play in the NHL for a long period of time. He won't say this. I'll say this part. Utica sucks. No one wants to be in Utica. No, dude, like, honestly, it sucks. Like, I don't know if you've been to that part of the United States, but, like, that upstate New York steel town shit, like, it's fucking depressing. It is. Sorry. And it's at its worst in the winter. Like, I used to... I've been there. Glens Falls, Utica, all that shit. It's not a great life. And to be there when you're a top prospect and the people I trust who break down numbers believe in the past 2 years he's been a top two goalie outside of the NHL. Okay. If you're a top two goalie outside of the NHL, you got to get your fucking chance, right? He's got to get your chance. So when I don't see him getting his chance, and I know, like, and the Canucks are like, no big deal. He'll get a shot when he does. Yeah, when? Like, he's going to be a backup next year at 24, and then he's going to be a starter at 25, 26, or maybe 26, 27. And just why wait? It's 100-plus games. He'll handle it perfectly. And it's not like I think the Canucks always handle it wrong. I think they handled it great with Pettersson. And I was saying in the summer, like, put the kid at center. Give him every opportunity to thrive. Give him the big minutes. They did all that right off the bat. Fucking took off. I'm telling you, I think Demko could do the same thing. And when I see him not getting that chance, when I see him, and I know that he desperately wants it, he desperately thinks he's totally ready for the NHL, it's hard to take, Chris. Like, this is what I have to live with.
No, I agree. And I think the fact that he went over 100 games, that's such a shocker. It's like, fuck, get him. And he's improved every year. You look at what he did at Boston College. His save percentage went up all 3 years he was there. He's done up to 3 years here in Utica, aside from what he started off. And it's been a little bit of a slow start for him. But that save percentage has jumped up. I mean, .922 last year in the AHL. You talk about him being one of the best goaltenders not in the NHL right now. I think he needs to come up. And like you mentioned with Nielsen, like, who cares? I think the best thing that Nielsen can get you back, whether it's a trade or a wave, is a spot for Demko. I don't care if it's a seventh-round pick. Just wave the guy and get Demko involved. I wanted him in and down Wednesday.
Wow. We should do a radio show together. Right on. I want to fist bump you right now.
I'm trying to, man. Lap pat.
Yeah, man. Like, that's right. Like, kind of steal my thunder a bit. But the other thing, and the And I've made this point lots of times. Like, he's not going to start learning the NHL until he gets to the NHL. Mm-hmm. But the other thing is, he's not going to start learning Ian Clarke. Like, Ian Clarke's, like, spent all these... been working with Markstrom. Like, okay, here's another guy. Markstrom's been on a great run, right? Like, 6 straight wins for the first time in his life. He's got a 940-something save percentage in those 6 straight wins. He's never played this great. Kevin Woodley just tweeted out today that another goalie coach said to him, like, he looks different. Like, this guy, this is not the same goaltender. He plays totally different. And to that, I say, yeah, he's been working with Ian Clarke. Ian Clark's made some significant changes. Significant changes. It's taking, where are we now? We're December 21st?
Yeah.
Like, the season started when? September? Now, Markstrom is an established goaltender in the NHL already. It took him that fucking long to figure out these changes that Ian Clarke has been making to the guy, right?
Yeah.
How long is it going to take Demko?
True.
So let's get him on, like, what, we're just going to wait for him to show up next September, and then the changes are going to get start implementing then, and then he's going to start getting working out the kinks over the first 4 months, and then what, at the end of the year, he's finally figured it out? Let's get on that fucking road right now.
Yeah.
There's no point in waiting. No one has a good argument right now.
Yeah.
Not Green, not Kluche, not Clarke, not Jim, not Aquilini, not anyone. Has a good argument. Tomlinson, who always argues about this. None of them have a fucking good argument to explain that there's any reason that Demko should spend another day in the AHL. He wants this. Chris, I'll tell you right now, goalies get screwed in multiple different ways. But if you're a top goalie prospect, how many Carter Harts are there who get the opportunity at 20? Very few.
Yeah.
And that's why we're all like, oh, look at Carter Hart. Look at this. What happens to Norton, great 20-year-old forwards? They're Elias Patterson, and they're playing 20 minutes a game, and it happens all the time! Does that not make you mad?
It does make me mad, Jason. I'm mad about it myself. I've been calling for Demko. He's improved, like I said, every single year. Nielsen has been trash. He's an absolute throwaway for me at this point in the season. And you know what? The biggest thing for me is Demko needs to see what the NHL speed and shots are. That's how he's going to develop. If he comes up and plays, I mean, this is what I wanted to throw at you too, because you've talked about Project Cablebox so much. Do you have another project that... do you think this is too much if they get rid of Markstrom? Because he's been very impressive.
Oh, yeah, I know. They're not. That's not. That's all. I see people joking about that, but he makes $4 million next year, and it's just too much. And plus, they like, you know, Green likes Markstrom, and Markstrom's the guy, and they never really gave Nielsen a chance to be the guy, to be honest with you, but Markstrom's the guy. I've come to terms with that. Markstrom's going to be the guy that's going to shepherd Demko into the NHL, and that's the guy that they've chosen, handpicked, that it's going to be the starter when Demko's here. And I mean, unless they make big changes in the summer and decide to bring in a Bobrovsky or something, which I'm still not out of the question. I still think that there's potential of that. And the longer here we go without Demko playing in the NHL, the more I start, you know, I tend to... Like if you were, okay, if you were from their perspective and you thought, you know what, like, maybe we should get a Bobrovsky, like, then you don't bring up Demko. Then you got all the time in the world for Demko to come around. So then you're like, fuck it, like, let's just leave him there and we'll bring him up next year. So I don't like the sounds of that. I don't want to see that happen. I want Demko around the young guys. I want him around Ian Clarke, and I want him to start figuring out shit with Markstrom. I think that's – I don't think he can – there's no counter to that. It just is, but no, like, Mark's, he just makes too much money and he's not great enough. No one's, I just don't see them willing to trade a guy who Green plays this much. Like, he plays Markstrom more than almost any other goalie in the NHL plays. Like, he clearly really likes the guy, which, fair enough. Green, I'm not here to take away your Markstrom. I just want Nielsen gone.
I just want to take away your Nielsen.
we just want Nielsen gone, and we want Demko getting starts. It's not that complicated.
Yeah. No, Jason, we could go on about goalies for the whole 30 minutes, but I got to get something else in here. People want to know.
Cut me off and move on to the next.
Yeah, let's move on. On the first episode of the PatCast, and yes, Jason, I listened back to every single episode before we did this interview. On the first episode of the PatCast,
You talked about a possible line of Sven Berchi, Elias Pettersson, and Brock Besser. Assuming that Berchi will be returning to the lineup, I mean, hopefully pretty soon, do you think that could still be an option? Or what do you think happens to the top six, guys like Levo,
Can you tell Goldobin? Me, like, when you say the, like, when did I say that? Did you hear me say that in the summer? Did you, is it spring, or was it this fall?
First one of the season of the podcast, the new 1040 version.
Right, so it was September, right?
Yeah.
It was like the first... It was because the first one we did there was like the first week of September.
Yeah,
right?
I think you guys were at the development camp.
We were at development camp, yeah. Right. And who was talking about Pettersson? Like, that must have sounded incredible, right? Because I remember myself saying,
yeah,
start Pettersson at center and give him scoring players. And I don't know if you remember at the time, but there was this big talk that Pettersson was going to play the wing with Sutter.
Fuck no.
And Pettersson, do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember.
And Pettersson had a... Pettersson had to start in the wing, and he needed defensive. Anyways, I'm glad that someone out there has listened back, and subconsciously, I know you were hat-tipping me when you were listening to it. But
you know.
Do I think that that's possible? Yeah, sure. I saw someone was sending me that in the last 10 games, Pettersson's shots are way down. Like, he's down to, like, 17 shots on net in the past 10.
Yeah.
And Horvat's at 28 in that time. And my first thought was, you know what? He's not playing with Goldobin enough, because Goldobin makes the play. Like, Goldobin's whole thing is, like, making plays to set up DKP.
Yeah.
So, I like, conceptually, I see where I was thinking, my September self was thinking. But now, you know, I've come to the idea that Goldobin is the best for him. Like, it was in training camp. I don't know if I mentioned, you can tell me if I mentioned this. I think I mentioned on one of the podcasts, but when I was sitting, I watched the entire, it was the first scrimmage of all of training camp, first team on team scrimmage. And I got to sit, I did the whole thing sitting beside Thomas Gradin, just shooting about stuff. Like, you know, just, I was interviewing him, we were just talking hockey. It was great, man. Like, he's an awesome guy to sit down and talk puck with, but he, like, right away, he's like, great. Like, he was stoked that Goldobin and Pettersson were playing together. Like, he's actually the guy that called this. And I'm sure he had influence in the decision to try them together, because he was going over, like, rush by rush. He's like, look where Goldobin is here. Look where Pettersson is here. Look where they crisscross the ice here. Like, these are two players who were thinking the game the same way. And he was calling out shots, like saying, like, this is what they're going to do. And then they did it. It was awesome. And it was then that the light bulb really went off for me. And I'm thinking, like, man, like, Goldobin and Pettersson can be really good together. But you're never quite sure, especially with the way Green kind of treats Goldobin.
Yeah.
I think I must have said at the time, like, I think Berchi kind of thinks similarly. Like, I like the way that Berchi thinks offensively. I think it could be Goldobin like, and I you know, it's worth trying. It's I think that's a better fit than Levo, to be honest. I don't really like Levo with those two guys.
That's kind of where I wanted to go from here.
I think that they need, like, I don't think Levo's, to me, Levo's not creative enough. He's,
and I just
think that if you got the shooter and Besser on one side, and you got the super creative playmaker slash sniper in the middle, I think you need another super creative guy on the other side. I'm not going to say it's Sedin. Like, it's not, they're nothing like the Sedins. And Pettersson will never be anything like the Sedins. But I do think he needs another, like, super offensively creative thinker. A guy who can, I'd rather have more of a playmaker on that side. And Berchi can score goals. But he's, like, his shot's not great. He scores those goals. Like, if you watch him play, like, he doesn't have a great snipe. He doesn't have a great slap shot. He doesn't pick corners. But he makes goalies move in a way that opens up holes that allows him to sneak those shots through. And he's had a super high shooting percentage in his time with the Canucks. Like, I remember looking at it in the summer, and it was, like, top 20 in the NHL. And it's not because it's a laser. It's just because he's great at creating movement, making goalies move, creating holes, and then finding those holes with his shot. So am I against that idea? No, not at all. I tend to think Goldobin is the best with Pettersson, but I'd rather see Berchi than some of the other options.
Yeah, Botch, you're too good. I'm trying to, like, fill in here and tell you, like, I was going to bring up the shooting percentage, and then you just go into it. I'm like, ah, god damn it.
Oh, did you knew that?
I wanted to bring it up, but I'm like, you know what? He's probably going to get it here anyways. the last thing I wanted to kind of get into was Josh Levo. Obviously, he's been playing on the first line. You could call it the first line with Horvat and Virtanen. I really like Virtanen playing with Horvat, and it was something that Harmon really dove into when we talked about it, is two guys that actually put pressure on the goaltender with just driving to the net, and he wants a guy like Berchi that can hop into that first line. But do you think that Levo, I think he fits better in a bottom six role in this Canucks team. Where do you kind of see him fitting when Berchi does return?
Yeah, I like, did Harm bring up his whole third scoring line theory?
Yeah, he said, well, he was pissed about Sam Gagner too. Let's not go down that road, please.
No, I know, but I'm just like, he talks about it all the time. He's super chapped that they don't have a third line that can score.
Yeah.
And, I side with him. Like, did he bring up Walmart? He really wanted Walmart. Did he bring up Walmart?
I don't think he did, actually.
Oh, okay, because that's a guy he really wanted in the offseason. He ended up signing with Carolina. He's been really good. Ah. But he's been a good, like, bottom nine, I guess I'll call it, center.
Yeah.
And who is offensive-minded. And Harm, he actually kind of he got me on this one, and he's right. That, like, I was always bothered about the Gagne thing because they signed Gagne after a season where he was awesome in a fourth line and he put up 50 points, and then they never used him at the center on the fourth line. Like, they never they bought a guy who was amazing on the fourth line, and then they never fucking used him on the fourth line. Like, that's what drove me crazy. And then Harm said, pointed out to me that, you know what, it would make a lot more sense if one of these bottom six lines was, and actually I'll circle back to, like, a super important point of that, a topic people should be talking more about, and it relates to just this. But Harm was saying, like, if you look at Sutter and Beagle and you have two defensive lines in the bottom six, then what happens when, like, for instance, Dahlin arrives, Jonathan Dahlin,
yeah,
and he's not working one of those top two lines, like, where does he go? Like, then you guys got to play Sutter or Beagle or Wire, then you got to pitch him back to the AHL because he doesn't really fit in one of those guys with Lions. And he always makes the point, if you had that kind of third scoring line and you buried it in a protected role, maybe as your fourth line, then if Levo's not thriving with Horvat, you can bump him down and with a center that can still score and he can explore all those offensive instincts he has. And for Tannen, the same. And when Dahlin arrives, the same. And the point that this brings me back to is a question I brought up in the Athletics last night. Like, is now the time to move on Brandon Sutter?
Yeah.
Because you're never going to have a third scoring line as long as you have Beagle and Sutter in the lineup. Now, Sutter is on, like, all the attention is on Edler. What should the Canucks do with Edler? And I get it because he's on an expiring deal. Sutter, I promise you, is their most coveted veteran. Like, I saw the teams that were lined up in the summer that pushing the Canucks to trade him to them. And it included the Kings, and it included the Sharks, and it included the Ducks, and the Penguins. The Penguins were one of the teams.
Yeah.
There was five of them. So I do think that you can generate a market for Brandon Sutter. And, I mean, if you did that and you had Sam Gagne as your third or fourth line center, is that such a bad world? No, I think that's actually something that they should be talking about. And they're having their pro meetings in January. And I believe it's a topic you have to address because they have been playing really well. And you are in a situation where Horvat's playing 20, Pettersson's playing nearly 20. Do you really want to squeeze Sutter into this lineup and have him back up playing 18 and a half, 19 minutes? Because I know Green's going to do that, right? Like, mm-hmm. You do know that. Green can't help himself. He's going to play at 19 minutes. And then what? Then Horvat gets cut back a minute. Then Elias Pettersson gets cut back a minute. I don't like any scenario where those guys are playing significantly less. All of this playing time has been amazing for Bo Horvat. Like, this is what he's wanted from the day he arrived in the NHL. He wanted to be the complete, trust me in every situation. I'm going to carry, like Santa Claus in a bag of presents some days. I'm going to carry this team on my back. And I'm going to shut down McDavid's. I'm going to play against Point and Kucherov's. I'm going to blow up when we play up the bad teams, I'm going to kick ass like I did against the Blues. Like, this week, like, I said this to him last night. I said, like, is this your week? Like, is this the player that you've been striving for, like, your entire career, like, almost your entire life, to be this guy, to be playing 20-plus minutes, to be going up against McDavid in one game, Kucherov the next, and then scoring like you did and leading the way in this Blues game? Like, is this who you wanted to be? And he goes, yeah. And this is always what he wanted. And do I want him to take a step back when Sutter comes back? No. I think that this is all, like, this is, honestly, the Sutter injury is the best thing that could have happened to Bo Horvat, because he's been out of the lineup for 7 weeks, and Horvat has totally accelerated his development, and he's changed the paradigm. Like, I think about him differently now than I did even, like, it's incredible, but I'm telling you, I think about him differently now than I did in October. If in October you told me Horvat's going to go out there and he's going to go head-to-head against all the top lines, and he's going to be a point-a-game player, I would have said, fuck no, you're crazy, you can't do that. No, dude, like, we all would have said that.
Yeah.
We all would have said that.
What, you know, do you what think I mean? It's and changed because the Sedins left? Do you think that's opened up the door for him for this,
man,
as well?
This is the great thing about the NHL that you have to, in hockey, this is the big secret to the whole thing. It's about opportunity, man. Mm-hmm. It's about deployment. It's about giving the guys a chance. And it's what Vegas did. They said, William Karlsson, fourth line, come on over here. Here's top six. Here's premier minutes. Go out and play, man. Go out and dance. Marchus O'Reilly Smith, you're struggling in Florida. Guess what? You're on a top line here in Vegas. Dance. And he goes out and dance. Like, they all did it, man, that whole team. Boston didn't believe in Colin Miller. They didn't. And other teams, I know people on other teams that said, we want Colin Miller. Go get us Colin Miller. Trade for Colin Miller. And they said, if Colin Miller is so good, why does Boston not like him? Well, guess what? Vegas liked him. Yep. Vegas brought him in. Vegas gave him opportunity, and he led them all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals. Him, Nate Schmidt, all of those guys. Opportunity. And it really fucking bugs me. Talk about another thing that makes me mad. I didn't even write about this. But Petrus Palmu.
Yep.
Okay? You know how many minutes Petrus Palmu was averaging? He played 12 games. Any idea what he averaged in minutes?
Was he nine?
Averaged 10 fucking minutes a game. 10! 8 minutes at even strength. Always in a bottom six role. Always in a checking role. Every single time. Go look at all the game logs. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he gets sent back to Finland, and all these guys are saying, oh, Palmu played his 12 games. He didn't score. He never had a chance. He never was given a fucking chance.
Opportunity.
Okay? It's opportunity. And no one can succeed playing 8 minutes a game. A guy that can't succeed playing 8 minutes a game. He's doing the best he can. He's showing up when he can.
Yeah.
But it's not fair to him, I don't think, that he's always around 7 or 8 minutes. I know they'll say, oh, it's best for his development, whatever. But there's lots of games you can get him. He should be playing more, man. He should be playing more. He scored a great goal off his own rebound last night.
Going to
but
the
it's
net,
about
yeah.
opportunity. And that brings me back to where this whole thing started, right? Because why? Because Demko needs a fucking opportunity! And that's why I'm mad all the time when I see stuff like this! And, like, how can you not be mad knowing all this?
Yeah, man.
We know too much, you and I.
It's 100%, man. I love how you brought it back to Demko. I mean, hell, it just keeps coming back to opportunity in the end. And that's something that management's kind of made happen, though, on their own, right?
Well, I'll tell you what. Who's thrived? The guys that got the chances to, right?
Yeah.
Stetcher, right into the NHL. Great. Look at him develop. Amazing. Yeah. Opportunity. Hutton, same thing. Great first year. they had to kind of whip him back into shape last year, fair enough, but he's been really good this year. Opportunity again, he's been getting the big minutes. He's played like 23 minutes. I think him and Gudbranson led all of their defensemen in minutes last night. They're using him as a top pairing guy. Chance, you know, how much ice are you going to get? Who are you going to play with? That's another huge factor that's another thing that I marvel at Horvat, because Horvat's not really playing with top six wingers.
Not really.
You know, Bertan is still figuring it out, and they've thrown him
fucking Levo, Tim Schaller for a while.
They throw him Schaller, they throw him Erickson. Like, go through the list of guys he's had to play with, and it's bananas that he's been able to go up against top lines every single night for 7 weeks and been virtually a point a game. 25 games, he's got 24 points in the games without Sutter.
Yep.
Like, that does not – that should be getting way more run in this city. That should be getting way more attention. 10 goals, 14 assists in 25 games without Brandon Sutter, and he's been playing with, you know, they're not plugs, but I love, you know, I really want Vertanen, but he's still figuring it out, man.
Yeah.
He's got, you know, and Schallers and Leipzig. Leipzig's barely even in the NHL. He played like a ton of games with Horvat this stretch.
Yeah, and the fact he's putting up that many points.
They gave him away, and he just said, get lost, Leipzig, you're gone.
37% of the time he starts in his own zone as well. I mean, the fact that he's doing what he's doing is, like, put the fucking C on his chest already. If you could have looked in the future and seen that this is what's going to happen, there would have been no way I don't think they had the C on his chest at the start of the year.
No, they had, no one knew. And I'm telling you, we didn't even, October you and October me had no clue that Horvat would be able to do this. And you and I love the guy. His dad, honestly, his dad, like, I saw his dad last night. He's like, he was so jacked. Like, I saw him, I was on my way back up to write the Athletics, and like, he's always telling me, like, give him the minutes, man, give him the minutes. And I'm like, and I said to him, and I go, Tim, you knew. And he goes, he didn't say fucking right, but he said, yeah, man, I knew, I always knew, this is London Bo, this is London Horvat, this is the way that London used him, and they're finally using him. And it was awesome. Like, and he's in town and he's jacked, and like, I like that whole, like, that whole Horvat scene is awesome, and 100% he should have the C on his jersey.
Yeah, couldn't agree with you more. Jason, I won't keep you any longer. I feel like Horvat. I feel like I've been going up against the first liner this whole time. This has been a great interview. Check out the Athletics. I mean, or subscribe to the Athletic for the Athletics.
Yeah, subscribe.
Hit the power hour up. Go to the live show. Anything else, Jason?
No, that's good. You have me covered.
You don't got a third thing to plug?
No. Gotta go forget about all this so I can be calm, serene, and do some parenting.
Yeah, I was wondering if I was gonna get angry, Butch. I seen him come out a little bit there.
Yeah, you got a little bit, man. You got a little bit. But I also gave you a window in why I'm so angry. Like, there's a lot to be angry about.
It's good. I think we kind of did maybe I'll call the episode a deep dive into Angry Butch. I think we went there.
Yeah, I think you did. I think that's awesome. A good label for it.
This has been great, and it's funny, you gave so much praise to Harmon, but he gave so much back to you, man. It was such a mutual respect from you guys.
You know what? I think the world of the kid, and I'll back him any day of the week. Like, he's going to do great things. He really is. So I try to help those guys when I can, and but he makes it easy on me, man.
He loves the nickname, by the way. He says it's 100% up to you, and he loves the nickname.
All right. Well, whether I make him love it, you know that, right? Like, it's not like he can say he doesn't.
Awesome, Jason. We'll close out on this. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Really appreciate it. As a guy who's a huge fan of your writings, your work on TSN, your work on the podcast, this is huge for me. I really appreciate it.
Okay, Chris. Talk soon.
Awesome. Thanks, Jason.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.